Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Periodically on social media, you might have noticed marketing campaigns from various shelters targeting black dogs. The copy that comes with these announcements sometimes insinuate and other times flat out say that there's prejudice against these dogs, and won't you come in and save one? Were these dogs groceries, we would say that the black dogs are functioning like a lost leader. They get all the publicity, but the goal is to get the people in there. Once they're in there, if all the black dogs are taken, or if a black dog doesn't appeal to a particular customer, the shelter staff isn't going to say, oh no, you can't have that brown dog you're looking at. They'll be happy to adopt out any animals that qualified adopters want to adopt. However, the prevalence of these campaigns have led some people to wonder, is this really true? Is there a stigma against black dogs? Are they euthanized more often than other dogs across the board? Or is this just a successful marketing campaign that over the years has come to be perceived as the truth? Scientific data is unclear. Some studies say it's true, other studies say it isn't. Part of the problem might be regional. It might be true in some regions. It might be true in some shelters. So a group of sociologists led by Jennifer Sinsky decided that they would do a large-scale study. Theoretically, it seemed simple. The state of Kentucky has a state law that mandates shelters keep all kinds of data about every dog that comes into their system, including the dog's color. That's a lot of animals. That would be statistically relevant. Plus, it would solve the, at least, intrastate regional issue. What happens in Kentucky might not happen in New Hampshire or Nevada or Oregon. But still, it was a start. Alas, it was not to be. State law or no, only 20 of the 120 shelters even had data that they were willing to share. And of those who shared their data, much of it was incomplete. Some shelters kept monthly totals, but nothing about individual animals. Others kept information about individual animals, but nothing about color. And so it went until the researchers were reduced to looking at one large shelter that had 126 cages. They discovered that after they eliminated all the dogs who had been reclaimed by their owners, the breakdown of what happened next was almost evenly divided in thirds. A third of the dogs were adopted. A third of the dogs were transferred to other shelters or rescue groups, and a third were euthanized. The third that were transferred to rescue groups are interesting in that a lot of the rescue groups that have ties to shelters are breed-specific groups. And if you leaf through a book of dog breeds and read the standards, you'll discover that there are a fair number of purebred dogs in which black is a standard color. And there are also a fair number of dogs, a large proportion of whose coat is also black. Then we have the remaining third, the third that was euthanized. If you worked in a shelter, wouldn't you want to look at that one-third population and think, how can we get the public to come in here and look at these dogs? And on that particular day, you really did have a few more black dogs than you normally do. So you run a black dog campaign. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. If you adopt out all the black dogs to good homes, fine. But if you adopt out only one of the black dogs, but a lot of other dogs, that's really good too. And that's enough incentive to run the campaign again. What I liked about this study was all of the points it raised relative to the human companion animal bond. The passage of laws without funding and desire to enforce them. The way marketing has a way of becoming truth, particularly in the age of social media. And most certainly the concept of GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If the shelter industry doesn't keep good records, then regardless how we crunch that data, we're going to wind up, to use another old computing saying, drowning in data and starving for solid information.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.